This week's episode is sponsored by Babysitter Massacre, Camp Carnage, the third sleazy slasher book in the Babysitter Massacre series, written by David O'Hanlon and created by me. It's hunting season, and there's no bag limit on babysitters. After his only child dies due to an incompetent sitter, Patton Moore establishes camp care. His graduates are highly sought after, and candidates will do anything for a spot. But this time, they'll wish they hadn't. Someone's brought some extra baggage for the stay, and it's up to Macy and the other unhappy campers to figure out who's behind the string of gruesome killings while being stalked through an unforgiving wilderness full of deadly traps. As the body count climbs, old wounds are torn open, and not everyone is who they seem. Who will survive Camp Carnage? Find it today on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for your dose of Spooky on the Weekly. I am, of course, your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and I'm sporting a much more soothingly bassy voice than normal. And no, it's not because I changed the microphone settings. It's because this is what's left of my voice after spending 3 days at the Joe Bob Briggs Drive-In Jamboree at the Mahoning Drive-In. And it was possibly one of the best times I've ever had in my life. I had a great time. I got to meet the man himself, Joe Bob Briggs, the premier drive-in critic and hangout at the historic and legendary Mahoning Drive-In in Lehighton, Pennsylvania. It was amazing, but I definitely paid the price. And it was also an incredible antidote to the year plus of lockdown because I got to see so many people have so much fun and I loved it. But the show must go on and I have a creepy, eerie story for you. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe, whether it's on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Give us a subscribe and head over to weeklyspooky.com where you can email us. You can send us a tip. You can join our Patreon and help us keep the spooky going. Show us a little bit of support. It goes a very long way. But about tonight's story, I've always been fascinated by the concept of the siren, of the woman in the water, or the woman in the forest, who sings in a beautiful tone that lures men to their inevitable doom. And tonight we have a very interesting take on the siren, written by one of our eldest Weekly Spooky contributors, Joe Salmo, and I think you're really gonna like it. So, let's listen to the story now. The Siren Song by Joe Salmo. Jacob looked out over the river as it cut its way through the rolling hills of the southern Adirondack Range in New York. He hated to admit it, but just the view made him feel better, a little. He heard the old rusty door slam behind him and his uncle's footsteps approach.
"Let's get settled in. Then we'll head out and catch us some dinner, eh, boy?"
Uncle Glenn said as he messed up Jacob's hair.
"The fresh air will do you good."
Jacob watched as his uncle headed towards the rustic one-room cabin that sat on the riverbank. He wondered how he was supposed to enjoy himself up here with his uncle. It had only been 3 days since his mother's funeral. A car accident took her from him. She was on her way to pick him up from a friend's house after a night of trying out Dungeons and Dragons. The night was fun. He was all smiles until the phone rang at Keith's house, and Keith's mom had to drive him home. She wouldn't explain why, but Jacob could tell by the look on her face something was wrong. They never caught the person who crossed the double yellow lines and hit his mother head on.
They fled the stolen car and the scene on foot before the police arrived and found her there. Jacob overheard the officer say that she was still alive when they arrived, but passed shortly after. They found several beer cans in the other car and thought it might have been a drunk or teens out for a joyride, but no one knew for sure. There was no justice, just loss. It really wasn't fair. When Uncle Greg showed up to help them with the arrangements and daily household stuff, Jacob was glad. His father seemed lost. He'd just stare out the window at the driveway, like he expected his wife to pull in any minute. At times, Jacob wanted to join him, wanted to believe that it was all a mistake, and his mother would be home in time for dinner, and complain about how his father overcooked the roast. The night after the funeral, his father suggested he go to bed early. And to be honest, Jacob didn't feel like staying up. As he finished brushing his teeth, he could hear his uncle and father talking on the back deck. The window was open on the warm August night. He dragged the stool over to the window he used to use to brush his teeth so he could peek out. His father was still wearing his white shirt and tie, the latter hanging loosely to his side. His father raised a glass to his lips. He turned towards Glenn.
"You know why I don't want to go back up there," Jacob's father said after swallowing.
"It would do the both of you good to get away. Come up to the river camp. It'll be like old times, Jason," Glenn replied. "The boy should be up there, too. Get away from this place."
Too many memories. Memories of her.
"You know, not all the memories up there were good ones," Jason said. They sat in silence for a minute, and Jacob got bored. He climbed down and put his wooden stool away. He thought it was odd that his father told his uncle that he met Mom at the cabin. When he'd asked for a school project, his parents told him that they met at a school dance. Jacob snapped out of his memory and looked at the river as it flowed by. So this was where his father and mother met. He looked up and down the shore and wondered which of the houses had belonged to his mother's family. He'd never met anyone from his mother's side. She told him that they had all died when she was young. Before he knew it, he was standing at the water's edge. Something had drawn him there. There was something comforting about the way the water lazily passed by the large boulder near the weathered dock. He walked out onto the aged wooden planks until he reached the edge and looked down at the reflection of the sunset and mountains in the river. He stared intensely into the water. There was something there, just under the surface, but he couldn't make it out. Pastels reminiscent of Easter covering the swirling water, keeping its underwater secrets from him. He slapped a mosquito as it tried to make a meal of him. A look out on the water showed all kinds of insects swimming just above the surface of the water, and he regretted not bringing a long-sleeve shirt to cover up. Jacob had never been fishing before. He wondered if he'd like it. Maybe if it was a video game. Then he wouldn't have to worry about the bugs.
"There you are, Jake," came Uncle Greg's voice from behind him. "Let's get all the bags inside. It's really cooling down. The browns should be out soon."
Jacob didn't know what a brown was. He assumed it was some kind of fish, or maybe an insect, since there were so many of those out. He grabbed his duffel bag from the back of the truck, and with a grunt, lifted it over the side of the truck. It took both hands to carry it to the house with a week's worth of clothes inside.
"What's a brown?" he asked his uncle, as he caught up to him, out of breath. "Trout, boy. Brown trout. It's on the menu for tonight. They love to eat those bugs there and will be right up near the surface. Easy pickings," Uncle Greg replied.
"Ew, they eat bugs?" Jacob asked.
"Sure do. It's a source of protein for them."
"Do they taste like bugs when you eat them?" asked Jacob.
"Not at all. They're delicious," his uncle replied with a laugh and put his bag down on the old worn couch. "You take the bed. I'll take the couch."
Jacob looked at the bed by the window. It had a nice view of the river. He carried his bag over to the bed and plopped in there without taking his eyes off the river. A boat was heading upriver. The steady drone of its motor was almost trance-like. He watched it until it was out of sight.
"How come you don't have a motorboat like that, Uncle Glenn?" Jacob asked.
"Well, honestly, I can't afford one. I'm not very good with money, Glenn said, laughing, as he set down the cooler by the old sink. Jacob had not even seen his uncle go back out to the truck to get the cooler. Dad says you whiz it away, but I don't know what that means, Jacob said.
Yeah, well, when we were growing up, your father had it easier than I did making friends. I found my friend in a bottle. You understand?
Uncle Glenn asked, gathering up the fishing gear and heading towards the door.
Yeah, Jacob said, but had no idea what his uncle was talking about. The canoe was so shaky, it felt like if Jacob sneezed, he would send the thing over, and he'd have to swim back to the cabin. So he sat, very still, white-knuckle gripping the sides of the aluminum canoe, in order to prevent his imaginary catastrophe. His uncle paddled them upriver a bit to a spot he said he knew where there was a deep pool that the Browns liked to hang out in. They would drift with the current from above it so the fish wouldn't hear the splashing of the oars and get spooked. Even though he was terrified of the canoe tipping, Jacob wasn't afraid of the river itself. Once again, he felt a calmness when he looked out on it. There was something familiar about the river. Something comforting. It took a few minutes for him to get up the nerve to let go of one side of the canoe and reach down to the water, letting his fingers drag in the cool water.
Well, here we are, his uncle said, and slid the canoe just upstream of a fallen log to keep the watercraft in place. You ready to catch some fish?
Jacob watched his uncle take a rod out from a tube and fit the ends together until the thing was almost as long as the canoe. He had seen rods in fishing shows before, but this one was super long, and the line was brightly colored. He watched as his uncle tied a tiny little poofy thing to the end.
Here, take this, Glenn said, thrusting the rod towards his nephew. Jacob reached out slowly to take the rod from his uncle, daring to rise a little from his safely seated position. As he sat back down, he felt something bump the canoe.
What was that? He asked nervously, looking around wide-eyed.
We just brushed up against a log. Nothing to worry about, his uncle said and started to fit together another rod. All I have are these fly fishing rods. It's a little harder to cast, but the Browns love the flies on the end, his uncle explained, and stood up in the canoe, making it shake more than Jacob would have liked.
Uncle Glenn gave a false cast and sent the line shooting out the end upstream. Jacob watched the graceful cast. It was easy to see the bright orange line make its way back downriver to them. His uncle cast this way three more times, explaining to Jacob how it worked. But Jacob wasn't about to stand up in the boat now. He felt another bump on the canoe. This time he swore he felt something tapping on the bottom of the boat.
What is that? Jacob asked, terrified. There are all kinds of noises, kid. It could be anything, a branch, a turtle, nothing to worry about either way, Uncle Glenn explained, and sat back down in the canoe.
He reached into the bag he brought with them and pulled out a beer.
If you were another year older, I'd let you have one, but 11 is just too young to drink a beer.
That's okay. I don't want to drink, Jacob said.
Good boy. Don't end up like me,
his uncle answered, putting down the beer to grab his paddle. Let's move a little farther downstream and give it another go. Jacob nodded and looked overboard as his uncle maneuvered them out into the current to take them downstream.
Jacob, can you hear me?
His young eyes widened as he heard the familiar voice. It couldn't be. How could he hear his mother? She was dead. He looked at his uncle to see if he heard it too, but he just guided the canoe down the river.
Jacob, it's your mother. Can you hear me, child?
Jacob tried to swallow, but his throat went dry. The hairs on his neck stood up. This can't be happening.
Uncle Glenn, I don't feel so good. Can we just go back to the cabin?
Jacob asked in a weak voice.
Huh? Oh, I guess we could. Didn't know you get seasick. Our family have been sailors for generations. Must be from your mother's side. I never met her folks. Probably grew up landlocked, his uncle said. Let's break down these rods first.
Another thump on the boat. This one, louder. Jacob wondered if he was losing his mind. Between the thumps and hearing his mother's voice, he just wanted to go home, get away from the crazy place. He looked out on the water and no longer felt a calming sensation. He was terrified.
"Jacob, I need your help. You will help your mother, won't you?"
He closed his eyes tight, wishing it all away. The voice, the bumps, the trip, the accident, everything. Why was this happening to him? Why was his mother taken from him? Was that really her voice he heard? Was it all in his head? They reached the dock without further incident, then entered the cabin without another word. Jacob went over to the bed and lay on it, facing the river. He didn't want to turn his back on it.
You want something to eat?" his uncle asked from the small table where he was sitting.
"No, thanks. I'm not very hungry," Jacob replied, propping his head up on his pillow to better see out the window.
He wondered why he didn't see more boats on the river. Sure, it was getting dark now, but still there wasn't much traffic out there.
"Okay, maybe you'll feel like eating in the morning. I'll make pancakes. If you need anything, just let me know. I'll be having a few drinks before I turn in, I think," his uncle replied.
Jacob closed his eyes for a second, then looked back towards the water. He closed them again, longer this time, trying to fall asleep and put an end to this day. One less day he had to stay here, and he could go home. He wasn't sure how long he'd slept, but when he woke, it was dark out. He could hear his uncle snoring from the other side of the cabin. He sat up and looked out the window, the full moon illuminating the scene before him. He could make out the dock on the shore of the river, a ribbon of darkness flowing in the moonlight.
"Jacob? Jacob, are you there?"
The voice again. "How?" Jacob wrapped the blanket around him. "Wait. What was that?"
"Jacob. Don't be afraid."
The hair on the back of his neck stood up again as his brain processed what his eyes were seeing. A woman was coming out of the lake, wrapped in a white dress, flowing behind her. It couldn't be, could it? "Mom?"
"Yes, my son. It's me. Come outside. I will explain everything."
Jacob looked at his uncle, passed out sitting at the table now covered with empty cans. He would sleep through the night. He slipped out of bed, keeping the blanket wrapped around him, as he made it to the door. He opened the wooden door just enough so that he could slip out, sure to close it, quietly, behind him. He made his way through the damp grass, keeping his eyes locked on his mother on the river's edge. He noticed a swirl of fog obscuring her legs and feet as he approached. She reached out to him, but he stopped 20 feet shy. He looked at her pale face, surrounded by her fire-red hair. It didn't look wet, even though she seemingly emerged from the river. "I guess anything is possible in a dream," he thought.
"Jacob, why do you hesitate? Come here, son."
Her voice sang in his ears, but her lips never moved. Was this a dream?
"Mom? Is it really you?" he asked. "It's me, Jake. Did you hear me earlier on the river?"
"Yes. Was that you thumping on the boat?" he asked her, pulling the blanket tighter around him. The night was colder than he realized.
"Yes. I was trying to get your attention, son. I miss you and your father so much. I didn't expect to be back here so soon."
"Why are you here at the river? Is the river..." Jacob asked.
"No, Jake. This is where I came from. I had to return when I was done with my life with you. It is complicated."
"Are you a ghost?" Her musical laughter filled his ears.
"My child, that is a good question. I'm not sure, to be honest. I have been keeping a secret from you for years. I think it's time to tell you of your heritage, my son. But first, I need to ask you a favor."
Jacob woke from his uncle shaking him.
"Are you okay, Jacob? It's almost 9, his uncle said.
5 more minutes, Jacob grumbled, rolling back over.
Okay, Jake, I'll get started on breakfast then, his uncle said. Pancakes good?
The grunt his uncle heard from the pile of blankets he took as an affirmative. Soon the smell of bacon and maple syrup assaulted Jacob's nose. He rose from the blankets and looked out at the river, remembering what his mother told him last night. It had to have been a dream, he thought. It had seemed so real, though. Jacob had to admit, he was really hungry and his mouth watered when he saw breakfast on the table. He ate so many pancakes he thought he was going to burst. He wondered if there was a more perfect food. If there was, he hadn't had it. That was for sure.
Can we go fishing again tonight? Jacob asked.
Sure. Didn't think you'd want to go after getting seasick last night. We can go right now if you want. Just let me finish the dishes, Uncle Glenn said.
No, let's wait until tonight. It will be cooler. Teach me to cast like you did last night in the yard, though. It looked fun, like a whip, Jacob said, throwing his napkin in the trash.
It's not really like a whip at all, but I'll show you.
Can you check on our ice situation? Do I need to run into town? His uncle asked.
Jacob opened up the cooler.
It looks like we might need some for later. What happened to all the beer that was in there?
His uncle looked in the cooler.
I guess I had a few more than I thought. A trip into town it is, then. Do you want to go with me or hang out here?
I'll stay here, Uncle Glenn, Jacob replied. I want to draw a little, he said, and went for his duffel bag. Inside was a sketchbook and pencils. He pulled them out and brought them to the table.
Suit yourself. I won't be long, Uncle Glenn said, and headed out the door. Jacob sighed as his uncle left.
Could it be true?
His uncle returned hours later. It was mid-afternoon, and he smelled of alcohol. Bad. Jacob couldn't get within 10 feet of him. He reeked.
Come on, boy. Time to teach you to cast like a master, his uncle said, and grabbed the tubes that contained the rods they used last night.
Jacob. A chill went down his spine as he stood in the yard. Was his mother really calling to him? Jacob, I can't get any closer. Are we set for tonight?
Jacob nodded towards the river. He didn't know if she could hear him or not, but the nod seemed to answer her question.
Thank you, my son. See you at sunset.
You always just stare off into space, boy? His uncle asked, scratching his head. You weren't watching. Now pay attention.
An hour later, Uncle Glenn was passed out on the porch, and Jacob had the rest of the night to himself. He would wake his uncle when it was time to fish. Jacob managed to get his uncle up just before sunset and get him into the canoe. He even helped paddle this time. They made their way upriver even faster than the night before and passed the fallen log even earlier.
Let's try a little further upriver, Jacob said. Is that okay, Uncle Glenn?
Sure, boy. Keep paddling. I'll get the rods ready.
Jacob continued to paddle upriver, pushing against the current. The sun was beginning to drop behind the mountains, similar to last night when they were out here.
Is this a good spot? Jacob asked.
Good as any to start, his uncle replied, and threw the little anchor overboard to keep them in the same spot long enough to fish. He handed Jacob a rod and grabbed one for himself.
Go ahead. Give it a cast.
Jacob hesitated.
You go first. I want to watch you cast one more time.
He felt something against the bottom of the boat. Was that a thump?
Glenn cast out towards the shore, where there was a bend in the river, the insects swarming just above the surface. He felt something and tried to set the hook, but lost it. He stood in the canoe, making it wobble until he got himself balanced.
Are you ready now, Jacob?
I need a little more distance, Uncle Glenn said and cast again. This time, his fly landed inches from the bank.
That's the sweet spot right there, he said, and began to strip the line.
Now, Jacob, just like we talked about.
Jacob picked up the tube that the rods came in. It was made of fiberglass, not very heavy, but it would have to do. He slid forward in the canoe, slowly, until he was near his uncle.
Uncle Glenn?
What is it, boy? Don't you know you have to be quiet when fishing?
"This is from Mom," Jacob said, and swung the tube into his uncle's gut, catching him unaware. His uncle pitched forward and the canoe began to twist towards shore.
What did you do that for?"
his uncle growled, clutching his belly. Jacob answered him with another swing, this one right behind the knees, causing his uncle's legs to buckle. He fell back and went overboard. The canoe stayed upright, just like his mother promised him it would, like it was held in place.
"Help me out of the damn water!"
his uncle called out, grabbing the side of the canoe and shaking it. Pale arms reached up from behind Glenn and snaked around him. "Good job, my son. He must pay for what he did to me. He was jealous of your father and I. And when I turned him down, he decided if he couldn't have me, no one could. First, he kidnapped me from the river onto dry land with my newborn Fry, you. Then, your father and Glenn fought over me, like some kind of prize. When I died, my soul went back to the river where my people live. Where your people live, Jacob." Jacob listened to the explanation from his mother as her face came up next to his uncle's. A large flipper slapped the water as she dragged his uncle farther from the canoe. "We have avenged my death, son. Now we must avenge our kidnapping from our people. Paddle back and call your father up here. Then we can be together again. Then I can teach you about your heritage. I can show you how to change your form, to live in the water or on land." Jacob paddled away as he heard his uncle splashing behind him, crying out for help. He wouldn't look back, not after what his uncle and father had done to his mother. No wonder she was so sad all the time, he thought. He put the paddle across his lap and let the current take him back to the cabin now that the waters behind him have gone silent. Soon, he would be reunited with his people, under the river. Just one more wrong to right.
I love a good bit of vengeance, and I hope you do too. That was a fun one. That one made me feel very outdoorsy. And as I was talking about earlier, I basically spent the last 3 days at a drive-in movie theater. So I got a whole lot of sun and a whole lot of mosquito bites, but it was completely and utterly worth it. Sorry to nerd out about my drive-in movie experience, but I love movies. I love being scared by movies as much as stories, and I really had an incredible time. So I'm excited, damn it. I also want to say thank you so much just for tuning in every single week. We're about to hit our big 100 episodes, and there will be a very special celebration for it. So stay tuned for that, my friends. We'll be back next Wednesday to throw that your way. But I do want to say something, and I would not put this out there unless I really sincerely needed a little bit of help. But both of my dogs have had some medical issues. They're doing okay. Tomorrow, my dog Chicano goes to a cardiologist, a specialist, to make sure that he's all good. So if you've never joined our Patreon and gotten exclusive episodes, or you've never sent us a little tip, or even wrote us an email saying, "Hey, great job, I love the show," now would be a wonderful time to go to weeklyspooky.com and help us out. I'm just dealing with some unexpected veterinary bills, and I could use the help. But know that if you can't help, there is no shame. This is what I have credit cards for. My dogs will never, ever lack the care they need to be healthy and happy. I love those damn dogs. So anyway, speaking of which, I want to say a huge thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who back us on Patreon, get exclusive content, and they kicked in just a little bit more to get their names shouted out on the show, and that's Gino Lyons, Michael aka Charm, Karen Wemet, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, Rob Fields, and Kevin Fry. Thank you, and all the other Patreon backers, for helping us keep the spooky going. But until next week, for myself, for Dan Wilder, our producer, and for our composer, Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later. Stay scared, my friends, and safe.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.